Good morning, friends. You are the non-cyclists. Lovely to be with you this morning as we continue our series looking at some images of Jesus. We started, I think, 2 weeks ago, the spring of living water. We thought that Johann would be best to speak about the winemaker, and we continue today with Jesus as the true vine. It's a very powerful image. Inside the bulletin, you have a leaflet, and I always encourage you to use it. I'm going to be using one or two passages of Scripture that are not going to come up on the screen that I'm going to give to you, and you may want to make a note of those so that you can look them up a little bit more carefully later. But we're going to read the first Scripture reading from the screens. They should come up now. It's John chapter 15, some wonderful, wonderful words and very challenging words that Jesus spoke to his disciples just before his own execution. So let me read these words to you now from John chapter 15, verse 1. I am the true vine. That sentence is powerful in itself. I am the true, not the false, the true vine. And my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean. The word clean there is the same word as the word for prune. You are already pruned because of the word that I have spoken to you. Remain in me. Different translations have different words for remain. Live in me, dwell in me, abide in me. Remain in me as I also remain, live, dwell, abide in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain, dwell, abide, live in me. I am the vine. I am the vine. You are the branches. If, strong word, if you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch. It's an analogy. You are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. And such branches are picked up and thrown into the fire and burnt. If you remain, live, dwell, abide in me, and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves, then you will show yourself to be my disciples. As the Father, this is mind-boggling, as the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now, remain, live, abide, dwell in me. We thank the Lord so much for those words that He speaks to us today. Do you remember that delightful story? I love the story of the young guy who was training to be a Catholic priest. And some of you may know it's quite a long process, 7-8 years. And when you've completed the process, one of the first things you do when you are newly ordained is you celebrate communion. And you will know that in the Catholic Church, the services are quite well structured, and there's a lot of response, and it's very liturgical. You know, the priest will say, "May the peace of the Lord be with you," and then all the people respond, and they say, "And also with you." Anyway, he was there to start his first service, and as he was about to start, he discovered his mic was not working. So he said to the congregation, "There is something wrong with this mic." And the whole congregation responded, "And also with you." That story is a parable for me of the credibility crisis that I think the church often finds itself in. We in the church, who identify very deeply with Jesus Christ as our Lord, as our Savior, we look at the world often, don't we? We look at the world, the political arena, big business, the different professions, the entertainment world, the sports world, and we say there's something wrong. There's something wrong with you. And that world looks at us and says, "And also with you. And also with you." There was an atheistic philosopher, I can never pronounce his name, Nietzsche, who said these words many years ago to Christians, "I will believe in your Savior when you look more saved." I will believe in your Savior when you look more saved. Credibility. Credibility doesn't come easy. Doesn't come easy. Credibility comes when we walk the talk. Credibility comes when people begin to sense a deep genuineness, integrity, transparency about our lives. Credibility comes when, even though we are totally imperfect and we fail and we mess up, somehow they can sense the character of Christ in us. That's credibility. And I don't know about you, but let me be honest with you this morning. I long for credibility in my own life. I long for it. I long for Debbie, the woman I've been married to for 33 years, to be able to say, "You know, Trevor, he's credible. I've lived with him. I've shared the same bed for 33 years. He's credible. He's credible." I long for my children one day to be able to say, "I grew up with Dad. I watched Dad. He's credible. He's credible." I long for my colleagues and the churches I minister in to be able to say, "He's credible." I long for that. And I have a hunch that you long for that as well. Otherwise, you wouldn't be here. Huh? To be credible followers of Jesus Christ. Now, it's against this backdrop that I want to invite you to explore an image of Jesus with me. It's a very powerful image. You know it well. And some of you are saying, "I wonder what Trevor's going to say about it." Jesus the vine, we the branches bearing fruit. I came across a wonderful image of this, and I want to share it with you. It's going to come up on the screens, and I would like you to look at it very, very carefully. It's a very simple image. Notice its simplicity, but it's very profound. It's a deep image, and yet it's very wide. It's a comforting image, but it's very challenging. And all I want to do today is I want to unpack this image. And as I do that, I'll be praying, and I hope you'll be praying, that God will speak into each of our lives today a transforming word that maybe today each one of us will begin a journey into a new credibility as followers, as disciples of Jesus. Now, I want you to notice a few things about the image. I'm going to just pinpoint a few verses from what Jesus said. I'm going to give you some extra verses, make a note of those extra verses. But I want you to notice a few things. I think the most powerful thing to notice is that Jesus here claims to be the true vine and invites every one of us, to abide in Him. That's the gospel invitation. Look at this verse. Just look at it carefully. It's verse 5. And Jesus says, I am. Now, whenever you come across the words I am in the Bible, you stop. These are powerful words. Remember, God said to Moses, I am who I am. I am. I am the vine. You are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will, promise, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Jesus offers himself to us today as the true vine. Can I give you some background quickly to this? I'll take a minute or two. Don't tune out. In the Old Testament, I don't know if you know this, in the Old Testament, the people of Israel were regarded as the vine of God. So for example, if you read the Psalm, Psalm 80, and it's I think verse 8, you will read these words of how God took the vine out of Egypt and planted the vine, his people, in the promised land. I discovered as I was preparing this week, I didn't know this, historians tell us that in the temple of Jerusalem, there was a beautiful, beautiful gold symbol of the vine. And every time Jewish worshippers looked at that image, they were reminded that they were God's vine with roots that went deep into the soil of Abram and Isaac and Jacob. Now watch what Jesus is doing. He's taking that image and he takes it for himself. He is the true Israel. He is Israel in a person. He is the obedient, faithful Israelite. He is the living connection between God and humanity. He is the vine. Now he invites us to come and to live, to abide, to remain, to live in Him. The word abide or dwell, do you know how many times that word comes up in the Gospel of John? This shocked me. 63 times. 63. There's something important here. This is the gospel invitation. Each one of us are called to dwell, to remain, to live in the vine. And you may say to me, Trevor, how does that happen? Well, it starts as we simply turn to Christ. We just turn to Him in trust, in repentance. We begin to share ourselves with Him daily. I begin to listen to Him in my life. I begin to take His words and I let them become part of me so that I will never, ever forget them. I start to obey Him. I start to live in Him. And I allow Him to begin to live in me. That's the gospel invitation. Paul, when he writes the rest of the Old Testament, I think 164 times he speaks about being in Christ and Christ being in him. That's what we are called to. Can I give you a word that means a lot to me? We are called into a mutual indwelling. I dwell in Him, He dwells in me. And that's how I live my life.
powerful image. You're invited into that this morning. Whatever you're going through, whatever's happening in your life, however bad you feel you've been, that's what you are invited into. Every one of us. Now notice secondly, it is when we are in the vine that we begin to bear fruit. Look at this verse. I'm going to take you back to the same verse. Verse 5. Just look at it again. I am the vine. You are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. The purpose of the branch is to bear fruit. Fruit is a very important word in the Bible. What do you think of? Here's trivial pursuit question for tonight. What do you think of immediately when I say the word fruit? What do you think of immediately? You think of the fruit of the Spirit immediately. Galatians chapter 5, verse 22, 23. You know it. The fruit of the Spirit. What is it? It's love. It's joy. It's peace. It's patience. It's kindness. It's goodness. It's faithfulness. It's gentleness. It's self-control. That's the kind of fruit that begins to grow. And it's by that fruit that we gain credibility in this world. By that fruit. What did Jesus say? By their fruit. Not by what they say. By their fruit you will know who belongs to me. You will know. You will know. By their fruit. By their fruit. Now can I say something? If you can get hold of this, it'll be exciting. We don't have to produce that fruit. Isn't that good news? I don't want you to say to me after today, Trevor, I'm really going to try. I'm going to try now. I'm really going to try be more loving, more kind, more joyful, more patient, more self-control. I'm really going to try. The word trying is not helpful. Have you ever seen a branch try? A branch doesn't try. And I need to hear this. I really do. Debbie was saying to me, the woman I'm married to for 33 years, was saying to me, Trevor, when you die, I'm going to put up a tombstone and I'm going to put these words on the tombstone. Here lies Trevor. He really tried. Trying leaves you tired, weary, disillusioned. You know, if you go to an AA meeting and you're struggling with an addiction, they've got a little slogan, I love it. And they'll say to you these words when you come in. They'll say, you can't. You can't. God can. Let God. You can't defeat this on your own. You've been trying. That's why you're here. You can't. God can. Let God. I can't produce the fruit. God can. Let God. So we give up trying, but that does not mean we do nothing. What do we do instead of trying? What do? We train. Paul, write this down, 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7. Paul, writing to Timothy, says these words. He doesn't say try to be godly. What does he say? Train yourself to be godly. The disciples in the New Testament are seen as athletes in Christ. There's a training. I train myself to stay in the vine. I'm not trying, I'm just training. And we'll all have a different training program. What works for me may not work for you. I need time alone with God every day. That's part of my training program. It's part of my training program. It's non-negotiable. I train.
I hang out on a weekly basis in a small group with other Christ followers. It's part of my training program. I go see someone once a month who kind of holds me accountable and prays for me and to whom I can be honest. And it's part of my, you don't have to, it's part of mine. And through that training program, I'm not trying to earn brownie points. I'm not saying, God, will you love me more now? No, God loves me whether I train or not. My training is to stay rooted in the vine so that the nourishment and the energy and the love and the joy of the Father can flow through the vine into my life so that fruit can grow. That's the image. That's the image. One more thing. Will you notice that if we are going to bear fruit, there needs to be pruning? Did you notice that? Look at those words again. I am the true vine. This is verse 1 and 2. My Father is the gardener. Some translations, my Father is the vine dresser. He cuts off, notice the twofold nature of the pruning. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit. He cuts that off. While every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. No pruning, no fruit bearing. Can I say something? I tried all day yesterday to find a nice, polite way in which I could say this, and I couldn't come up with a polite way. So this is going to be in your face, okay? When I open my life up to Christ, when I open my life up to Christ, I come under the Father's knife. I come under the Father's knife. Now let me say carefully, we don't have to be scared. The Father loves us deeply, deeply. And it's in the moment of pruning that the Father is most tender with us, most loving, most careful. Let me give you an analogy. If you were to come and visit me in Benoni, get your visa sometimes, friends. Come out there, man. And I would take you to our little home. One of the first things I would brag about is our garden. Got a small garden. I've got nothing to do with it. I just follow orders. Debbie is the vine dresser. I watch her. We had beautiful roses until 2 weeks ago, before the hail came. I watch her sometimes. She doesn't know I'm watching her, but I just watch her sometimes as she prunes the roses. She is never more closer to the rose than when she prunes it. When she waters the rose, she's far away. But when she's pruning, she is intimately involved with the rose. She's tender. She's careful. Don't tell her I told you. She even talks to the rose in the moment of pruning. And she is helping that rose to be faithful to what it really means to truly be a rose. That's what she's doing. That's what the Father does. I don't have to be scared of pruning. What is it that God needs to prune from your life today? What needs to be cut? Maybe it's a destructive relationship, and you know if you go any further, it's going to blow your relationship with God out of the water. Maybe it's a way of doing business that makes you not a credible Christ follower. And there are people who are saying, don't do business with that person because they talk a lot, but they don't walk the talk. And you know what that practice is, and the Father is saying, I need to cut it off.
Maybe it's an attachment you have. Maybe you're attached to something in a disordered kind of way. And it's an attachment. And this attachment is coming in between your relationship with Christ. Maybe it's just what they used to call a besetting sin. That you can't. And maybe you need to say, Father, I need you to prune me. What needs to be cut? And I'm learning, and I just share this with you, I'm learning that this pruning usually happens in daily life. Just as I go through life, I find pruning opportunities for the Father. This week I had lunch with a man. I have lunch with him about once every 3-4 months. He's in his late 50s. And earlier this year he was retrenched. He was a top executive, listed company, doing very well. Suddenly, no job. And he was telling me about this year and how it's been for him and how he's gone. And every time, the same thing. You're overqualified. You're overqualified. You're overqualified. You're overqualified. And he talks of how phone calls now people don't come back to him. And people don't have the courtesy maybe of acknowledging a CV. And he says, you know, Trevor, I used to do that. I used to do that. I used to look down on people. There was an arrogance in me. He said, you know, over this year, something's been happening. These are his words. He says, somehow, I quote him, my ego seems to be trimmed. I think that's the Father. Just trimming. Does God want him to be unemployed? Of course not. Of course not. But the Father is present in that situation, doing his pruning work. I find getting older a pruning experience. Getting older, deteriorating at a rapid rate. And there are things that maybe I could do that I can't do anymore. And it's almost like the Father is pruned. I used to love being in control of everything. And as I get older, I realize I'm not in control of too much at all. Very little. I can influence here and there, but I'm not in control. And it's almost like the Father's pruning me a little bit of my need to manage and to be in control of every person and every life. What does the Father need to prune? What is the Father wanting to prune of your life even now? Can I end? It's my privilege today to offer you an invitation. It's an invitation to abide in the vine and to begin a journey of training to stay in the vine so that we can begin to bear fruit, become credible. Maybe today you want to start that journey away from the vine, connected. That can happen. Our folk here, big thanks to Michelle. I've asked the folk here to take that image that we looked at earlier, a little laminated copy of that picture of Jesus the vine. And there are going to be folks standing here after the service. We'll hear the Chabad song. And maybe today, as an act of commitment, as an act of reconnection, as an act of expressing your intention to Jesus, you may want to come and just pick up this image for yourself. Put it in your Bible. Look at it each day. Maybe you will want to do that. And as you come, the person giving it to you is going to speak one sentence into your life with this image. Let's pray together. Abba, Father, we talk about deep things here on a Sunday. things that sometimes we don't pay attention to. But here we have an opportunity just to go deeper. We ask, Lord, that you would speak to us today a transforming word that will transform our lives and begin that journey for us. Thank you, Lord, that you are the true vine. You are the true vine. The source of God's love and nourishment and energy and life. And that you invite us to live in you, to make our homes in you, to abide in you. And you want to, we can't believe this, you want to come and live in us. Because you love us and you died for us and you rose again. And you want to come by the power of your Spirit to make your home in our lives. We want to go on that journey, Lord, with you today. Amen. May the joy of the Lord be with you. God bless, friends. Have a special day.